4CBA Mobile.
CFW, how are you doing this afternoon, David?
Not too bad. I just got my ears lowered, so I was a little overdue for that. So I'm glad they've gotten that done. My hair was about to drive me crazy, and I don't have far to go.
On that one, my shadow on the ground with my hard hat on looks like Bozo, and then I know it's time for me to go. I just got mine cut a couple of weeks ago myself.
Well, I'm just getting a visual, mental image of that description there. shadow, uh-huh. Well, he says a serious hair, but anyway, I had an appointment, but then it just so happened that my out of town, so I could make the hair appointment, and I was definitely making the funeral, so so that's just the way it worked out. And a week and a half after that, so it was I just had to wait a little bit longer.
The way it is, the expense of everything, and that I try to make sure I get my money's worth, and I can notice that it got cut.
AP4CBA. Well, when I was a kid, all the way through elementary school, my dad took me every other Saturday, and of course I had a crew cut all the way through elementary school, and we got that haircut every other Friday at the Ritz Barbershop there on Augusta, right there at Ferris Road, and that was a that went on for 6 years, and then when I got in the middle school, or junior high, actually, it was back then, I started letting it grow out some, but, oh, me, what are you up to today?
Technically still at work, although I'm driving home. I had to order something it up, and then I'm just going to go straight home. My answer, the only Lowe's that had it was the one in Greer, and that happened to be by the house. That worked out pretty good. And then I'll just have one more day to work before the long weekend.
Good for you. I haven't paid attention to the calendar. So when does, what day is July 4th? It's always nice. I remember looking forward to those 3-day weekends, and I'm here at Tipsy Taco in Greer. I'm gonna get some food here and take it to the house, or I'll be back in a minute if you're gonna be in there. And if not, I guess this is 73s, but anyway, I'll stick around for your final KB4CPA.
I'll still be out here. It'll be about another 20 minutes. I'll be rolling past Tipsy Taco there in Greer, headed to the Lowe's and that. But I'll see you in a minute. 73, KN4TFW.
EFW0TR, this is Tom.
How are you doing this afternoon?
Except for my memory, good. I'm not even going to guess at your name, but I know you. And you'll have to forgive me for that. I know Dave, and he's going in to get tipsy before he buys tacos, isn't he?
My name is Ken, Kilo Echo November. I don't live far from you.
I have to stop by and visit someday, Ken. And I went out and did a little more touch up on my... Let me turn this radio clear down. It's distracting. And the radar detector. Finished up. I had a little more camouflaging I wanted to do on my counterpoise for my newer antenna out there, the 160 vertical. And there was little spots here and there that I just wanted to touch up. Did a little work with the chickens this morning, and I hung a little plaque the daughter got for me on the flagpole out back. A man came inside.
When I know it was hot, whenever I had to go outside at work, I had to put up a bunch of stock and that, so I was in and out. And it's about 2 o'clock, and it was pretty warm.
You drive, don't you? Well, I was trying to remember what your occupation was.
It's mostly my whole life, but right now I'm in spare parts for the maintenance department at a chemical plant up in Spartanburg.
A lot there. I worked my first year after I got out of service many, many years ago. I worked at a place where I sold electrical apparatus. And I had only worked on airplanes, and so it was a real good education for a little over a year, I think, before I went on to become an electrician at a large machine shop and an electronic technician later on. And I learned a whole lot. I could tell you every piece of electrical equipment by the name of each junction box or all the way up through huge circuit breakers for a coal mining industry. So you look at it sometimes as a menial job, but it's not. It bears quite a bit of responsibility and memory.
Yeah, Dad was a millwright, so I grew up, you know, learning the millwright trade, became a millwright, and then when I had a family that worked in construction all the time, we finally settled down and got me a maintenance job at a factory, and then worked my way into, you know, doing the spare parts and learning all the machinery. And after 20 years, when COVID hit, I left that place down in Piedmont that I'd been at, and they were doing plastic thermoforming, and went up here to the chemical plant. It took a little bit to learn the parts, because most of their parts are, you know, piping and different things like that. A lot of stainless steel stuff.
Well, we had one of our plants shut down quite a few years before our plant shut down. Our company had been in business 125 years that I used to work for. And one building was about 300,000 square feet, and the building across the street I had to take care of was 30,000. And this up when they shut it down, that was a major blow, because there were 600 employees down there. So I got to learn all about working on 500-ton press brakes, 450-amp plasma cutters that would cut a plate 20 feet wide by 40 feet long, and three-head CNC, and things of that nature. And I was the only one there that read schematics. It kind of laid back on my shoulders quite a bit. But I had guys... For the most part, I had to do it too, but for the most part, they pulled wire and ran conduit and stuff, which I never was very mechanically inclined. Like, millwrights were the ones that come in and set up machines or tore them down and shipped them out.
Exactly right. When I moved back here, I went to an automation company over there off of Haywood Road, and they made custom automated machinery, and, you know, you built it in the shop from an idea, and then ran it down and went to the customer's place and installed it. That was actually a really fun job, but they just don't want to pay you anything.
I probably should have left there years before I did. I worked there 32 years, but they wouldn't put me in management because nobody else could have fixed the type of machines we had. And machine was a French Berthier vertical turner piece, 27 foot in diameter, and I don't know how high it would go, but it was over 10 foot. so you could take an 80,000 pound bearing, and when you got done turning it, it weighed, or a 100,000 pound bearing, and it finished at 80,000. So there was quite a few chips there, 20,000 pounds of them. Part machine we had, and we had bending rolls that bent up. We built plates to make large kilns, and primarily it was inch and a half plate, about 12 foot wide, and they'd bend it in a circle, you know, and then weld them together with 1500 amp sub arcs. I don't know if you've ever been around stuff like that or not.
We're CPA.
Good afternoon. Just back to you, sir.
I hadn't been around that in particular, but I know what you're talking about. Like I said, machinery has been my whole life, and that I didn't work on cars like Dave, just only machinery.
You can work on machinery. You could probably learn to work on cars. You know, I mean, Tom worked on some stuff that came over on the Mayflower.
That's one, Dave. Good to hear you, buddy. Yeah, that one had a 100,000-watt Swedish Amplidyne generator on it. The prints were all in Swiss or French, and I didn't know either one. And had a 480-volt DC 100-horse motor in the pit to turn the table. But some of our other stuff, well, I started out on vacuum tubes and drives that controlled the CNC machinery, you might call it. It's not numerical control, but it was variable speed controls. And worked through all of the different evolutions of SCRs and pulse width modulation, variable frequency drives and such. So I learned a lot. It was very interesting. Every day when you went in, you had no idea what you'd be doing that day. And I was on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So it was exciting at times, but I loved it at that place. And then they shut it down. So what can you do? Go ahead, Ken. It's NZ LTR.
You know, be on call all the time, or call me at midnight on a Saturday and need me to find a part and courier it in and that. That's what I'm thankful about this one, is that when I roll out of that gate in the evening, I'm done for the day and done for the weekend on Friday, so that makes it nice. Go ahead and pick it up, Dave.
It's nice when you can, when you hit the clock and you're out the door, then you can leave all that behind you. That's a blessing, because some jobs are not like that, and been there and done that, so no fun. But anyway, but I've never done any of the stuff y'all talking about, so it's kind of interesting to listen to you two talk to each other. Go ahead, Tom, N0TRKB4CVA.
I'll tell you what, Dave, to be an automobile technician like you were takes a lot, and my mechanical ability just stinks. I never liked it and didn't want to do it, but I didn't have the aptitude for it. And, you know, like I told my boss one day, I said, you know, 300,000 square feet in all the electrical and electronic, and you want me to become a mechanic? I said, just fire me or I'm going to be a mechanic. And he went and talked to the superintendent, and I wasn't a mechanic. And I told him furthermore, I was tired of doing the plumbing. And I did that for many years, and I'm not very good at that, Dave. But I have a high respect for what you did. What I learned about automotive technology and electronics, one of the best books I ever had was Radio Shack used to publish books, and they had all of the technology about the transducers and stuff of the time, and that would have been probably the 80s, Dave. But you got to be on the ball to be a good mechanic nowadays. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, growing up, I helped build chemical plants, installing minerals, cement plants, tire plants, did a Budweiser can plant. And it's interesting to see all of the different technologies and how things are actually made and how fast that they're made, you know. And then when I switched over to maintenance and went to a place that made ceiling grid, learned a lot about tool and die, learned how to run a lathe and a milling machine and everything so I could make my own parts and do stuff. And, you know, I'm used to working in the thousandths of an inches where you're used to volts and millivolts, and that's something I never really got into. KN4TFW.
And, you know, cars have changed since I've gotten out of it, but up until the models that have the auto braking, you have to go to the dealership to get a battery put in those things. You can't just throw a battery in it when it goes dead. Oh man. But and I heard that from the service manager at George Cullen Ford. He was telling me about that. I just blew my mind. Thank goodness I don't have one of those vehicles, but anyway, but I used to work for his brother at in the Mazda place, and but anyway, but what I was going to tell you is we used milliamps to check for a draw on the battery, and usually if it was 50 milliamps or less draw on the battery, it was acceptable. Anything above that was not. And but you would have to hook the battery up, or hook the meter up between the battery post and the battery cable, didn't matter which one. And and then you have to sit there and watch the meter drop, and because it might start at 2 or 3 volts, and it would just keep dropping and dropping and dropping, and you hope to drop below, you know, 0.055, and so you didn't have to do any diagnostic work and find that stupid.
Yeah, I could tell you what that was, but not on the radio, Dave. An old electrician joke. But at any rate, well, Ken, I'll tell you, where the lines crossed was, I had the earliest technologies in auto positioning, and they actually laid out mics on the horizontal axis and the vertical axis, and then they had the cutter that went out, but those mics were set, and you had to make that position within a thousandth of an inch. And so I worked there on that a lot because it was done with micro switches, and it was a pain. And if a guy put the wrong weight oil in it or anything, it would throw it off on that table. Most of the time they used an oil with Paratac in it of sorts, if you know what I mean. And then when we went to the deflig, I went to several different schools, and it was a 6-inch horizontal bar there, 4-inch, and it was 0.2 of 1/1000th of an inch, or that operator never got a green light. And if it didn't give you a green light,
when you're really good at it, you don't get called in until everybody else has had a try at it. It's really, really messed up. And then I remember we had some, picking places that were servos, but instead of the motor being round, you know, it was linear, and that thing could stop, you know, within 0.1000th every time. How skilled they came. And Dave, I'm glad you told me about that, if you got auto braking on your car and that, because this one's definitely got it. So I'll have to remind myself that I can't just swap out the battery. Not that you can even get to the battery on this thing. Trying to hook up a radio, finally gave up on that idea. KN4 TFW, go ahead, Dave.
You, you could probably pull the engine out and get to the battery. I mean, you know, it's really crazy, the stuff that you have to take off a car just to get to a part these days, you know. But anyway, well, I'm sitting in a garage, gentlemen, y'all. I use that term very loosely. But anyway, y'all carry on, and I'll say 73s. I'm going to enjoy some Mexican food here. I just picked up a Tipsy Taco. So y'all have a good one, and I'm clearing out KB4CBA.
And you sort of didn't get too tipsy there, Dave. I know how you are. Hi. See you later, Dave. Have a good day. Enjoy your supper. We're taking down some pork butts to the daughter here that we picked up for. And I don't know what else, Bernice. I mean, that's the main thing. But, yeah, that old boy up there on Highway 14, just north of us, Ken, is real good on his batteries. He sells Exide, and I used to use a lot of those in scissor lifts, man lifts if you want, and things like that. And they, Exide was always a good battery, although now, you know, there's always, it's like all appliances and stuff, there's one manufacturer and they just put different names on them. But I don't know about Exide. It's just an old company. And he stands behind his products. I had one bad battery from him one time, and no questions asked. He just put a new one in. But the funny thing, I was a little leery of, because I've been a technician all my life, and he said, just leave the car run, or the truck. I can't remember which one it was. And he changed that battery while the car was running. Now, I've never seen that done before, but he says on those Toyotas in particular and some other ones, he says that if you take the battery out while it's shut off, it can goof up the computer systems or something and cause problems. And he swapped it while it was running and hot. I don't like that idea, but, you know, I'm an old-timer too, Ken. This is NZOTR.
Good evening, and it's out there, I guess it's battery off of 14 for work to, that's where we usually get our batteries at. They have the, you know, the best prices in town, it seems like, so I really can't complain about that. And I don't know that I've ever changed one while it was running and that, but I'm more partial to the vehicle, although I have newer vehicles, I'm more partial to the older ones that had a lot less electronics on it. I feel like they're a little more reliable anyway.
You never know. It's a throw of the dice. But in some respects, yes, and in some respects, no. The technology is amazing nowadays, and that's who I go to, and that's a fact. He has the best prices. The last time I had one changed, I changed it at Advanced Auto, the last time I ever went there. And they're real nice people, but their batteries are, wow, expensive. And that old boy out there, he just does a good job, and he does it quick. And I kind of think he's a Spanish fellow, the guy that changes them. But the guy that owns it isn't, I don't think. But I like those folks out there, Kim.
Although when I went to get a truck battery, I think I was looking for a certain kind or a certain size, and that, and I got one at, oh, where did I get it at? It's actually the one over by Tipsy Taco. I don't remember what store it was, but they had the battery I was looking for and put it in my truck. The one that was in it lasted like 8 hours.
Yeah, that's where I went, exactly. I guess because we live up close to each other. I don't know exactly where you live from me. I live up there by that O'Neill edition. But I'll tell you, Ken, they never did me wrong. I never insinuated that. And they have a good product, but they're proud of it. And which, I guess you get what you pay for.
Ingalls is there on 290 and the ball field. And that, if you go to that red light, take a right. I live in that subdivision right there on the right, Fairview Place.
Pringles last night about, what, 9 o'clock? Bernice needed some mustard seed, so we had to go out at 9 o'clock at night to find mustard seed. And I think that's the first time we ever went to Ingles and didn't find what we wanted. And they were sold out, so we had to go down to Food Lion there on Wade Hampton. They're expanding it. I don't know what they're putting in, adding on. Working on signs last night. But at any rate, we're down here at 14 Pelham. Just seen a, what am I trying to say? I want to say Amazon. Just seen an airplane take off with the orange tail. shoot, what is it, Bernice? You remember? But they've really made a nice corner out of this now down here compared to what it used to be.
Well, I'm pulling into the Lowe's right now, so I'm going to have to say 73 and catch up with you and Miss Bernice later. Annette, and I hope you have a awesome rest of your day. You said you were going to your daughter's, Annette, so I hope it all works out well and you guys enjoy your time and have a safe trip back to the house. And I would never be at Ingles at 9 o'clock in the night because, man, when the chickens go down, I shut her down. KN4TF.
Okay, kid. Yeah, but she was making her famous summer sausage, and it's out of this world. And I wasn't going to deny her that because I'm the recipient of it most of the time. Really, really love that summer sausage and some four-year-old Wisconsin sharp cheese. And it's nice riding along with you. 73's KN4 VFW, if I got it right. And 0
73 Tom, KN4.